Well, turn, if you will, now to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, found on page 1010 in your pew Bibles. Zechariah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold, a lamp all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. There are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees, which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Well, as we have had opportunity to walk through Zechariah, you maybe have noted that this has been a book that has been filled with encouragements. From chapter 2, where we saw a people that had felt insecure, felt vulnerable, were reminded, as God described, the great plans that he had that could not be contained within that old layout of Jerusalem. When he told that young man that was running forth with the plumb line in order to measure the walls of that city that were in ruin, to wait and to tell them that due to the promise, due to the amount of blessing that he intended for his people, no longer would those walls be able to contain the people, nor even their flocks and herds. So great were the plans of God for them. And so he addressed the people in general. In chapter 3, we saw that his visions there were laid out for the encouragement of Joshua. Joshua was that religious leader of the day. Again, we see that this daunting prospect of rebuilding the temple, this great task that was before them and that had started to cause God's people to wonder if it would ever be accomplished, even had affected the religious leaders of the day, such that they weren't certain that these things would come to pass. And yet, God sought to encourage even the religious leaders of the day in chapter 3. And so now we come to Zechariah chapter 4, and you'll note here that this set of visions is addressed to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the local governor established to oversee the civil magistrate, so to speak, of the people here in this place, that he too might be encouraged, that he might grow in his understanding of how it would be that God would accomplish this great task that was before him. And so this evening we're going to be looking at God's encouragement to a despondent people. We're going to be reminded how this house shall be completed, and that it will be by God's Spirit that this will be done. So we see here, Zechariah, as we begin in chapter 4, is once again approached by that interpreting angel that we have seen in chapters 1 and 2. And this interpreting angel comes to him and asks him what he sees, and we begin, as he describes this, to think perhaps of what we read of in Exodus chapter 25, as he describes this lampstand made of gold, that it would evoke or bring back to his mind the idea of that great menorah that once had occupied the tabernacle, or those 10 lampstands that occupied the temple of Solomon. And so he sees here a lampstand all of gold. But as he describes the picture that is before him, we note that there are some differences from the lampstand of old that occupied the tabernacle or even the temple of Solomon. We see here that this lampstand is described as having a bowl over it. Now, if you think back to the operation of the tabernacle, this was one of the responsibilities of the priests to go into that holy place, and on a daily basis they were charged with replenishing what? Replenishing the oil within the lamp, that light might continue. And it is a notable difference here that we see upon this lampstand, it has some kind of a reservoir that is above it. And as he describes this lamp, it is to help us and it is to give further clarity to the rest of the vision that is given to Zechariah here as to how it was that these things would be accomplished. That instead of these things falling upon, as would have been the pattern in the tabernacle, the duties of the priests on a daily basis, here we see God has implemented something. He has added something. And this addition removes that burden from the priests by giving this reservoir, putting this reservoir over the lampstand that it might supply what is needed for these lamps to operate. There was a bowl on top of it and 7 lamps on it, with 7 lips. Now this 7 lips might be better translated 7 channels, that we might understand how it was that the oil that was in that bowl was making its way as needed down to and filling these lamps to provide that light. These 7 lips or channels were on the top of them. Now he goes on and he describes that there was something else present next to these lamps that wasn't part of that design within the tabernacle or in Solomon's temple. Here he describes them as 2 olive trees. And there are a few different ways that scholars have sought to interpret or view these olive trees. One explanation has been that these 2 olive trees are to represent the prophets that were laboring at this time, Haggai and Zechariah, as those who brought the word of God, who supplied what was needed, the direction necessary for this temple to be rebuilt. But others have said that these are expressions of the wonderful way that God would bring about and accomplish these things himself. That as he goes on to talk about how it is that he is going to accomplish these things, not by might and power of men, but by his Spirit, that he positions these 2 olive trees next to this lampstand and its reservoir. For what purpose? There are two pipes that are emanating from this olive tree, supplying the reservoir with what is needed, with the oil that is necessary for these lamps to burn. And so we see that God establishes here these olive trees that they might supply, that this light-giving lampstand that is here pictured before Zechariah is to be understood by Zechariah as being established permanently without end. Now, as we consider these visions today as the church in the 21st century, this serves as a comfort for you and I as well, as we are reminded of the permanence, of the eternality of the church of Jesus Christ. What it was that God intended to establish when He sent His Son, establishing His church, that no matter what the world would bring against it, it would not be thrown down. It would not be destroyed, but rather at all turns, it would be supplied with what it needed. And so these two olive trees, one on its right and one on its left, are here supplying those things that are necessary. Now, as Zechariah is receiving these visions, and these are intended for Zerubbabel, it is important for us to realize Zerubbabel himself was nearing a state of despondency at this time. He too had felt struggles in the establishment and the rebuilding of the temple, and knew the threatenings of those around him and the mockings of their neighbors. And so here God sends to him this valuable encouragement that he too would understand how it was that these things would come to pass. That they would come to pass as God was pleased through his Spirit to accomplish them. He says in verse 6, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" These are important reminders, even for you and I, as we consider the task that God has given us as the church of Jesus Christ, as we think about that which He's called us to do as His heralds of the good news, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He reminds us it isn't by our persuasive speech, it isn't by the skilled arguments that we would present, but it is, again, the responsibility and the work of His Holy Spirit that goes before us and works upon the hearts of men to make them new and to make them capable of hearing that good news of the gospel and responding as we would so desire, as He would desire. This is a comfort to us. That takes a load off of our shoulders, doesn't it? To realize that He does the heavy lifting, that this is the church that He is building, not our responsibility, and certainly not based upon my strength. For I'm reminded on a daily basis that I am weak and finite, that my knowledge and wisdom is limited and not sufficient for such noble and glorious tasks as those laid out by God here in His prophecy. And yet He comforts us by saying, "I'm not leaving you alone to do this work, but I am sending my Spirit to do this work. I am giving to you an advocate, one who would labor before you and through you to accomplish my purposes, lest you feel overwhelmed." And we can very easily feel overwhelmed. You know, parents, think about that task that you've been given by God to raise your children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. That's a daunting task, especially when I consider all of my own weaknesses and sins and insufficiencies. I'm not equal to the task. And yet that's precisely the way that the Lord is pleased to drive us to our knees, to plead with Him to overcome my weaknesses, and to work despite me, to that end that he would delight in seeing our sons and daughters come to know and recognize and call upon his name. And so these would have been welcomed words to Zerubbabel as he considered these things, that we might understand and better grasp how much Zerubbabel felt he was faced with a problem that he couldn't overcome. God here addresses those problems as being like a great mountain in verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? For you shall become a plain. You see, when we think in terms of mountains, we tend to think of strength, immovability. And yet here is God, to the comfort of Zerubbabel and to his people, saying that he is prepared to even bring down the heights of the mountains and make them a plain that this work can continue unencumbered. That those things that once appeared to be obstacles too great to be overcome will be made level and easy to transit. Now he moves on. He goes on in verse 10 and he says, "For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." You recall when they set forth on this project of rebuilding the temple, there were those of the older members who could recall the temple of Solomon, and they wept because this was in no way equal to that temple that once had been, that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. You see, they had looked at what was taking its place and they saw it as something much less. And it was despised, wept over by the people of God. And yet, here is God saying to them that they will see the day when this will be completed. When Zerubbabel himself will not only have laid those foundation stones at the outset, but will also be responsible for seeing that final stone set in place that indicates this project has, by the power and Spirit of God, been completed, and the right worship of God reinstituted to the satisfaction and delight and celebration of his people. You see, this is a needed word of encouragement to those who had been concerned, to those who had felt overwhelmed. And yet how easy it is, even for us in the 21st century, as we hear reports of the things that are going on around the world, as we know of our brothers and sisters that are suffering around the world, to sometimes think this task is far too great. And yet God pledges himself to finish the things that he has begun, to continue to build that church until the very last stone has been put in its place. And at that time, he sends our triumphant king back in power and glory to carry out the judgment. Now, for their comfort, he goes on and he describes this stone. He says, "These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are the two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured?" He says, "Don't you know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." He said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Here he paints this most glorious picture of what his church will ultimately be. If you think back, we drew from it this morning, from Revelation chapter 1, that picture of the glorious Christ standing in the midst of those candlesticks that were to represent his church. They were those light bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a duty that was given to his church to bear that light in the world. And here, that same church is described These seven lamps are the eyes of the Lord. They bear His glorious light. They bear His message. They bear witness to Him. And we are pleased in this day and age to hear testimony of what He is doing in South Sudan, what He is doing in South Asia, in Southeast Asia, what He is doing in the Far East. All of these things testifying to the reality of these prophecies given to Zechariah, to the encouragement of his people then, but it's also to our encouragement today that our Christ is building His church. And all of the efforts of hell cannot triumph over it. That He is triumphant. His victory is sure. And as His servants, we can lay a hand to that work that He has given with confidence that He will see it to completion. Oh, His bride has yet a lot of refinement to make. The church of Jesus Christ has a lot of growth yet to accomplish, and we pray that we will be pleased to see the power of the gospel and hear reports of the way that He is building His church when our laborers come home from the field and testify to the way that God, by His Spirit, is building His church in closed countries, in impoverished countries, in well-developed countries, in countries whose governments are hostile and actively persecuting. Oh, we yearn to hear the testimony of these realities. We yearn to hear how it is that God is supplying His church, even today, what is necessary that their light may not be extinguished, but may continue to shine forth brightly to the glory of our King Jesus Christ. May He use us in like fashion here in the Beaver Valley, here in Patterson Township and Patterson Heights. May He be pleased to draw from us those who He would call to labor in His name in this state and beyond, that His church may be established, that His light may shine bright. Until He comes again. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.